Chapter 2. Chapter 2, the book of Ephesians, and we've entitled the message, The Body of Christ. And our memory verse will actually be two verses. They go together so wonderfully well. Verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 2, The Body of Christ. We're going to be looking at this in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to read it aloud with me after I read it. And after we pray, we'll look at chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. Our lesson today, Sunday, October 29, 1995, Ephesians chapter 2, The Body of Christ. The memory verses, verses 8 and 9, I'll read those. I'll ask you to join me in reading them aloud. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let's everybody join together, reading those two verses prayerfully. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now last Sunday in our lesson, we learned how that God ordained for each of us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And often we stop reading right there. But we ought to read verse 29 that tells us what the purpose is. And God's purpose for your life and mine, whatever your age, whatever your status, whatever your occupation in life, God's plan for your life is to conform you and conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants us to look more like His Son every day. We can certainly realize that God is busy in a program duplicating, as it were, making us duplicate copies. Now, please don't misunderstand that. We'll never be little Jesuses. I don't mean that. But God wants us to be a replica of the original. And God made us in His likeness and in His image. Therefore, we ought to be something like Him. We're going to talk about today in chapter 2, building the body. Brother Mike, you'll remember an article, a sermon that Dr. Charles Keene had in print and preached some months ago. And there was a statement in it that did as much for me as any statement I think I've ever read in the sermon. And here's what it was. We are building a body. We are not gathering a bunch. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between a body and a bunch. And I don't mean this unkindly or with any derogatory meaning, but a lot of churches are getting bunches together. But where's the body and the building of the body and the nourishment of the body? We're in the business, folks, at Worth Baptist Church of building a body for Jesus Christ. And this body belongs to Him. And whatever He chooses to do with the body is His business, not ours. It's His business. You and I personally belong to Him. As a body of believers, we belong to Him. He's the exalted head, and everything stems from the head. Everything in your body today works because of your brain. If your feet are moving a little slow, maybe your brain's moving a little slow. I don't know. If your feet are moving a little fast, maybe your brain's moving too fast. I don't know. But everything, if you go out today and stub your toe, and the toe is aching, you know the reason it's hurting? Because your brain told it to hurt. Toe doesn't have any sense. It's the brain. It's the head. I've used this illustration so many times. Let me use it one more time. You're sitting before the fire. A coal drops out of the fire and lands on the end of your toe and burns your toe. You don't know that until a message has gone from your toe to your brain and a return message that says to your toe, move your toe out of the fire. Now, you tall people have a problem there because it takes a long time to get the message all the way up to your brain. But I'm saying Jesus Christ is the head of the body. If we don't understand that, we don't see what the body is all about. When we understand that Christ is the head of the body, He gives the body life, He operates in the body, through the body, He nourishes the body, He supports the body, He gives strength to the body, everything relates to Him. Now keep that in mind as we read Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, oh, that makes a difference, doesn't it? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What a marvelous chapter. Now let's go back. Remember, in God's economy, there are two classes of people. The Jew, called the circumcision in these chapters. We read that in Galatians when we were in our study there. And the Gentile, commonly referred to as the uncircumcision. Now remember, the Jews had their own Judaistic religion. It started all the way back 1,400, 1,500 years before Christ. Remember, there are 11 major religions in the world. All but two of them were already existing when Christ was born. Judaism was one of them. With Moses on Mount Sinai, God gave the commandments. God gave all the regulations of the Judaistic religion. And they felt themselves in a class all by themselves, and nobody could touch them, and they were gods, and nobody else could be gods. But Paul changes their way of thinking when he tells them that God loved the Gentile just as much as the Jew. And you go back to Isaiah 46:9 and 42:9. Both of those verses tell you that Jesus Christ would come as a light to lighten the Gentiles and for the glory of God's people Israel. So there are two peoples. What does God do for them in Christ? He breaks down that middle wall. We read that a moment ago. That middle wall of partition that separated Jew from Gentile, or the circumcision from the uncircumcision. He breaks down that middle wall of division, that partition that divided the two. Remember, a Gentile was not even allowed in the temple, in the Jewish temple, under the penalty of death. So there was that middle wall, invisible, but there, that separated Jew from Gentile. But now Paul is saying, hey, there's no more of that, because he's made of both Jew and Gentile one body, the body of Christ. So we must remember, for example, in verse 2, when he says, wherein in time past ye, he's talking to Gentiles there, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. He's named several times in the scripture as the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Satan is mighty, but Satan is not omniscient and not omnipresent. Only God has those characteristics. But Satan, the prince of the power of the air, that was where their citizenship was. The children, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now notice he started out in verse 2, ye, speaking to the Gentiles. But look at verse 3. He says, among whom also we. He's speaking now of the Jews. He speaks first to the Gentiles and says, you used to walk according to the course of this world by the prince of the power of the air, children of disobedience. And he also says in verse 3 that we as Jews all had our conversation or our citizenship in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He says we as Jews were children of wrath just like the Gentiles were. And God's breaking down, has already broken down. But in this chapter, we're seeing it being broken down. At the cross, everything changed, ladies and gentlemen. At the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, as God's substitute for you and for me, as a sacrifice for our sins, the middle wall of partition was broken down. And the Jew and Gentile in Christ have become one body. It is not a Jewish body. It is not a Gentile body. It is the body of Christ. And we're on an equal status. We're the same. Because God has brought us no more of their two, but one. Now, that's the same concept and same idea of a man and wife as they are married. They're no more two. Jesus said they'd become one. Paul said they'd become one. So, the Jew and Gentile brought together in Christ are one body. Not two bodies. Not half Jew and half Gentile, but one new man. So it doesn't matter whether you're of the circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not the flesh that profiteth anything. It's the spirit. And we are made one in Jesus Christ. So he changes the part of speech in verse 2. He says, or the tense of it, he says, you Gentiles. And then he says in verse 3, we as Jews. We're all in the same boat, folks. That's what he's saying, basically. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. All by nature, we're rebels and aliens against God. And you Gentiles, he says, were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. But God has fixed that all up, and God's changed all of that. Look at verse 4. That's where it all starts, but God. Now, you can put anything you want to after that. You have cancer, but God. You lost your job this week, but God. You're facing a crisis in your life, but God. You see, circumstances don't change who God is. Circumstances don't change God's interest in you and love for you and me. His love is the same. Since when did a cancer or loss of a job or financial failure or a breakdown in health or anything else, since when did that have anything to do with God's love for you? Never did have anything to do with it. You see, God's working out. You know, sometimes God can get more glory out of our lives in affliction than he could otherwise. I've told this story many times before. Let me tell it again. Up in Richmond, Virginia, there was a preacher who had a cleft lip, who couldn't talk plain, talk like this all the time. Every time he opened mouth, he talked just like this, just like I'm talking right now. That's the only way he could talk. And built a great church. I mean, hundreds of people came to hear that man preach. And one day a preacher friend said to him, you know, you in this day of modern miracles of medicine, you ought to go have that operated on. You can straighten that up and you can talk just like I can talk. Well, he got to thinking about it and he did. And when he did, the power of God left his life. Because you see, when he hadn't talked like this, he depended on God. But when he could speak like this, he depended on himself. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when we start depending on self, we're in trouble. Care who self is, how strong self is, how educated self is, the power of God left that man's ministry and his ministry diminished. Before that, in affliction, where you wouldn't hardly dream of anybody inviting somebody to go to hear somebody, they just could barely hear him what he was saying. But the power of God did something. You know, the power of God can take a feeble, unworthy, undeserving voice, mouth, person, and open the ears of people where they can understand what he's saying by the Spirit and power of God. And ladies and gentlemen, what we need today is the power of God on our lives. And we don't need all the streamlined stuff that's going around, changing up everybody, changing up everything, going after new fads and fashions, doing everything to get a bunch together. No, Paul's not talking about a bunch in Ephesians. He's talking about a body. And that's what we're building for Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, and I want to emphasize once again, his love is the same for you today as it was yesterday. His love will be the same tomorrow as it was today. If you go out of this place today and flagrantly disobey God, he's still going to love you. Now, he's not going to approve of it. He's going to punish you. He's going to put the lash on you. But I want to tell you, he's going to still love you. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing will ever diminish his love for you and for me. And you know what the Bible said? Jesus said, as the Father loved me, he loves you. Can you imagine? This is absolutely preposterous. Can you imagine God lessening his love for his Son, Jesus Christ? I can't imagine that. Nor can I imagine God lessening his love for you and for me. Because you see, we're in Christ. And whatever God does for Christ, through Christ, with Christ, he has to do with us because we're in him. We're a part of his body. He's the head. He's calling the plays. He's directing. Now, sometimes the hand will get disobedient to the brain. Sometimes the hand will go its own way and get caught in a saw. That doesn't mean the brain doesn't still love the hand. The hand just kind of got out of. Sometimes you and I can kind of get out of the traces, but the head remains the same. We can be disobedient to the head, but we're still part of the body. Nothing changes that status. We are the body of Christ. Now, sometimes Christ prunes his body. Sometimes he has to do certain things to the body, just like when your body is not well. And you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription. What do? Go home and hang that on the wall, frame it, and say, boy, there it is. Not going to do you any good. You're going to have to do what the doctor says. And I want to tell you something, folks. We're going to have to do what the great physician says if we're going to have a healthy body. Whatever God does to the body is his business because it's his body. Paul is saying here, God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sins. Now picture this, dead in sins, no spiritual life at all. He has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. Notice he said together with Christ. And then in parentheses he says, by grace ye are saved. Not only has he quickened us, he didn't leave us in the grave. Now watch this. When Jesus, through his precious blood, when God saved us through the blood of Christ, he didn't leave us in the pit. He didn't leave us in the grave of sin. Look at the next verse. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together. He quickened us together with Christ. That is, he made us alive with Christ. as he raised up Christ from the dead, literally out of the grave, out of the tomb, he has raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means our position today, our position yesterday, our position tomorrow, not just while we're in church. Why, anybody can sit in the heavenly place in church. But every day we're sitting together with him. That's our position. In heavenly places, with Christ, as a part of his body, Jew or Gentile. Now, what's the purpose in it? Verse 7, that in the ages to come. I don't know how long that's going to be, do you? I don't know how many ages he's talking about there, do you? I don't really understand what that term means, ages to come. But if it's a million years or a trillion years, then that would just be the beginning. It's all eternity, really. Ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, not just the riches, but the exceeding riches, look at it, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God's kind to us, you know that? He's kind today, he'll be kind tomorrow, he may chastise us. Listen, just because there was a time when you had to turn your child, your son or your daughter over your lap and give them what they deserved, what my daddy used to call hickory tea. You know, with a switch. He called that hickory. How I ever got that? I guess it's a limb off of a hickory tree. And anyway, we got the tea. Does that mean daddy wasn't kind? No, doesn't mean he wasn't kind. Did that mean my daddy didn't love me? No, didn't mean he didn't love me. That's the reason he did it. If you miss this, you missed it all. The reason that God chastises us is because he loves us. Whom he loveth, he chastiseth, the Bible says. That's the reason he does it. Because he does love us. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God made us in his likeness and image. He's conforming us day by day by day by day to the likeness and image of his son, Jesus Christ. Again, go back to Romans 9:29. 8:29. Don't quit at verse 28 in Romans 8. Read verse 29, because there's God's purpose to make us like Christ. He hath ordained them, those good works, that we should walk in them. He says, remember. You know, we ought to go back once in a while and say, hey, look what I've been saved from. Remember that ye, that is ye Gentiles, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, before you came to Christ, before you were saved, before you were born again, ye were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Can you imagine what a horrible status that is? Strangers to the covenant, to the promise, alienated from God, without hope, without God in the world. But there's that word but again, verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's the cross, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to God. What an attraction. And I ask you this morning, in the midst of fads and fashions in churches and leaving the faith and going after everything out there, marketing the church like New York, Wall Street, I want to ask you a question. What ever happened to the attraction of the cross? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, speaking of his death, I'll draw all men unto me. We're trying to draw them in the net with everything imaginable. Let's get back the cross preaching and the blood preaching. For he is our peace, verse 14 says. Now remember, he said, ye Gentiles, we Jews, and now he says, our, both of us, no longer are we two, our peace, who hath made both, that is both Jew and Gentile, one. And has broken down the middle wall of partition that divided us. He's abolished all the enmity. He's taken away all the things that separated us. And look at the last part of verse 15. To make in himself of two, of twain, of Jew and Gentile, one new man. So making peace, that he might reconcile both, that is both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross. And verse 17 talks about his preaching peace to you that were afar off. For through him, look at it, verse 18, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And remember, he's Father of us all. Now, you're no more strangers. Look at verse 19. Here's a wonderful thing. You're no more strangers. You're no more foreigners. You're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That means you belong to the family of God. You belong to the body of Christ. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Old and New Testament. And who's the chief cornerstone? Not Moses, not Abraham, not Daniel, not Isaiah. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. Everything's depending on him. By the way, folks, it isn't depending on you and me. It's depending on him. He has brought us together in one body. May we pray, Father, we're grateful today for this hour, the wonders of it all that you've made out of two. Jew or Gentile, Jew and Gentile, one new body. And Father, this is your body. Worth Baptist Church is your body. And I pray that you would do with your body what you please to do. I pray that you would bless the service this morning, the 11 o'clock hour of worship. May it not be just another Sunday morning, but may there be a demonstration of the power of God in our lives and upon your dear servant. Bless the choir and others as they sing in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back. May God bless you.